Welcome to the Cool Channel's Word Has It book tour, where we will explore the wisdom, imagination, and personal discovery book clubs are experiencing around the world. I am your host, Brenda Brown, and today the Word Has It book tour drops in on 6 members of the Canton, Ohio book club. So ladies, I know we have 6 members joining us today, and could someone share with me the name of your club and how it came into existence?
My name is Irma, and our book club is called Still I Rise, and it was named after the author, Maya Angelou.
Okay. And how many active members do you currently have, and how often do you ladies meet?
We currently have 14 members on our roster, and pre-COVID, we were meeting at least every month. But since then, it has been inconsistent. But we're going to meet again in November, and we had a meeting in August.
Okay. So how are your meetings conducted? So is there a leader for the meeting, or is it just open discussion about the book?
Actually, we have both. Generally, I lead the book discussion, but everybody chimes in, so we have, we have lots of people.
Lots of people. Okay, so do you guys, sometimes I've read some books and at the end of the book, it'll have a list of questions that I think the author has generated to kind of get you to, for maybe for book clubs discussions. Do you guys use those or do you just come up with your own?
Occasionally we use them, but most of the time we come up with our own.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about some of the cool things you've done as a club over the years.
One of the things that we've done, actually Teresa did it, is when we read a book, when we have the meeting, sometimes what we do is take a dress like the Egyptian, and you dress your house up like the Egyptian, or it's some kind of food or something in the book, and we tend to make similar dishes that goes along with it, or you wear a headscarf if whatever that book might have had a theme, and we try to follow that theme. Not always, but we try.
Okay, that's good.
And this is Marva speaking. We read the book Maya Angelou's Letter to My Daughter, which gave an account of her life and ups and downs. And as a result of that, I was able to ask all of the ladies in the book club to write letters to their daughters or people who are like daughters to them. And I compiled it into a booklet and distributed it to everyone. And through the years, people have come back and asked, who maybe have misplaced their books and have asked for copies of those letters to share in various loving ways.
That's a wonderful idea. That's great. I'm gonna have to write a letter to my daughter. I have 2 daughters.
Another thing, this is Jackie speaking. And every year for about the last, how many years? Several. How many?
10.
At least 10 years. My sister, Judy, has given a Christmas party at her country club. And it started off with the 14 members and their spouses. And in the last several years, we've had about 75 people come, and they've all been Judy's guests, and we've had a wonderful time. She's had a band and she's had a DJ, and it's just been a real gala affair, and it's formal.
Yeah. Oh. And we end the night with all the members up front singing That's What Friends Are For.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like a wonderful
thing that I call cool things that we've done. And one of them, I think, is becoming a movie, the book Our Kind of People. Mm-hmm. I know you're familiar with that, Brenda.
I am. I have that book.
Okay. And I think it's becoming a movie. But anyway, that particular day, we all dressed up formally and we taped it and sent it to Oprah. Now, Oprah didn't respond to us, but we sent it. We had several public events. The author, Yolanda Joe, who's also a soror, came and spoke, and we actually charged people money and gave them one of her books, and she was absolutely excellent. I would recommend her for anything. And then two others. Terry McMillan was brought to our city by the Palace Theater, and the Palace Theater also brought Mboom, I think that's the way you pronounce her name. And one of our club members had the opportunity to introduce those two famous authors. So I thought that was good.
That is very good.
Another memorable experience, one of our, this is Jackie speaking, one of our members, Nadine McElwain Massey, had written a book about the history of Black folks in Canton. And to introduce the book, she invited people to the local AME church. And there was a huge crowd, and it was, she reviewed the book and reviewed some of the people in the audience, and it was just a really stellar afternoon. And there was a book signing at that time too.
And along with another fellow.
Oh, member. I'm sorry. It was also Nadine and Jerry Radcliffe co-authored the book.
Core editors. We were actually editors.
Core
editors. So many people submitted stories.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the books that are my favorite are The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks and The Invisible Man by John Grisham, which is not a novel. It's a true story. And I mean, that kind of knocked me off my feet. So I enjoyed those two.
Grisham? The Invisible Man?
John Grisham.
Okay.
Yeah, The Invisible Man. Anybody else have some really books that they enjoy?
Are you there?
Brenda?
Can you hear me now? I'm here.
Oh, you're back. So what did you miss?
No, I heard you all. I heard everything you said.
Okay.
But I, before we get into your favorite books, I want to talk about what is your process for selecting the books that you read? Does whoever's hosting the next meeting come up with the book, or how do you go about that?
Yeah, this is Claudette. We whoever is hosting the meeting will choose the book and choose what we're actually going to dine, where we're dining, what we're having. They do everything.
Okay.
That's usually how it goes. And no one complains. Eating is a big part of our book club meeting.
We're going to get to that part. Eating and drinking.
And drinking.
Yes. Okay.
So now that we've... Excuse me, Brenda. We're having a hard time talking one at a time. Because usually we're talking a lot.
So we talked about the club. So now we're going to talk about some of the books. So either a current book that what you're reading now or a book you've read in the past. A few of you talk about what your favorite book is and tell us a little bit about it without giving it away totally. And then talk about what your favorite character was or the favorite part of the book.
This is Marva. One thing that I enjoyed about reading books here in the book club was I enjoyed all the books actually, but we read books written on the lives of local people. And one was Frederica Stewart, entitled My Father's Child, and the other by Corey Minor Smith, Driven. And both of these books depicted the challenges that they both experienced in their lives from childhood on. Frederica becoming involved in some crime and having to go to jail, and also her sexual orientation. But Corey Minor Smith having attended, I believe she said in her book, 7 different elementary schools in her growing up, and then going on to college, becoming pregnant while in college, giving birth, but she went on and became a successful practicing attorney and community leader. So it gave us all a view of people in our community that we know personally, the challenges that they have experienced in their own personal lives.
Good. Anyone, earlier you talked about The Invisible Man. I forgot who mentioned that, but you talked about you enjoyed that book.
Nadine.
Okay.
And I did enjoy it. It was maybe his only nonfiction book. And that's what I thought made it good, because he talked to the sisters, he talked to the victim in the case, he exposed Texas and Oklahoma law and how they mistreat people so badly. And then they talked about how he got out of it at the end. So I just thought that was an excellent book. Okay.
Any others have any of your favorites you want to talk about?
Yeah, this is Claudette. And yeah, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. I was totally blown away by what was happening to African Americans in the United States. And just so I could say is that, what I could say right now is that I'm a Jamaican person living in the United States. And so I did not know about all of the situation with using our cells and using and testing Americans for Black Americans for experiment. And even though they might have done it in other countries, in my country too, but I didn't know it. So I was really just overwhelmed. And then to see what happened to her and the family and all of that was just very emotional. And so that's why I like that book.
Brenda, I'll tell you this, but I'm telling on ourselves. The first book we ever read, I didn't mention that before, did I? Well, the first book we ever read was It's Not About the Bike by Lance Armstrong. Everybody hated it but me. I liked it, and I suggested it, but I was the only one. And then there's one book that, I don't know how we got this one, nobody read it. Maybe one person, but the book was Middlesex. Nobody read Middlesex, or if we started it. I personally started it 3 times. I could not get through it. Right. And it was an Oprah book, too. That was what made it so surprising.
Someone just told me about that book.
Did they say it was a good one or what?
Well, they recommended that I read it. I think it's called Middlesex,
yes.
Yes, they were just talking about it.
Well, you let Teresa know what your thoughts were.
Yeah.
You'd be very curious.
And this is Marva. We all enjoyed reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes, we did.
No, we did.
I didn't either.
I did.
No, we did. It taught us some things that we didn't know even.
Yes, that invokes some emotions in us all.
Yeah, definitely. One of my favorite books was The Warmth of Other Suns. Yeah. And I am the audio reader that ladies all like to have the tactile books, but I like to listen to it. But this book was so great that I had to get it in hard copy because I want it as a reference on my shelf. And it really told the story of the Great Migration and gave me much insight into how we came to be in what particular state and how, you know, my family settled in Ohio as opposed to going out to California. So it was just amazing to me.
Wonderful, okay.
This is Jackie. And I have to say that I'm one of the members who rarely reads the books. But I do love the fellowship and I love the discussion. But one of the most memorable books for me was a fairly recent one called Where the Crawdads Sing. And I love that book. Did you read it?
I read it.
Okay. So I love it because it was a mystery, but I didn't love it as much for that. I love that this woman was a biologist and she wrote in terms in the language of a biologist to have a commentary on human nature. And that was one of the things I loved about the book. I thought it was, she wrote in beautiful language.
Jackie, yeah, I was going to say The Glass Castle.
That was another one that I loved.
Yeah, what was The Black Castle about? I haven't read that.
It's The Glass Castle.
Oh, The Glass Castle. Okay.
The Glass Castle was about a family, and they did make a movie out of it too. But it was about a family who lived, I guess, in the hills of West Virginia.
Yeah.
Yes. And so it was like, how do you live when you're that poor? Because it was so bad, they lived on a hill. They were crawling in the back window because the front of the house had just fallen in. And the oldest girl ends up leaving and going to New York because she's an author. And her parents follow her. All the kids went to New York and they followed them. And the book opens by the girl, the protagonist in the story. She is in a taxi and she's riding to her office in New York City. And she sees an elderly woman going through the trash outside of the building. And she realizes it's her mother. So it was a really, really good movie.
And a good book.
The title, The Glass Castle, is because their father always said he was going to build them a glass castle. And so one day the kids went out to dig the foundation for the glass castle. And the glass castle, the foundation that they dug, became their garbage dump. And so the kids were teased at school by saying they lived on a dump. So it was just a great book.
Except the parents were terrible parents. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they gave the children such wonderful values.
And experiences.
Yes,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. This is Irma, and I'm a Maya Angelou fan. I love Maya not only as a poet and a writer, but as a person. I have a poem I'd like to share with you right now.
Okay.
It's one of the poems in the complete collected poems of Maya Angelou called The Human Family. I note the obvious differences in the human family. Some of us are serious. Some thrive on comedy. Some declare their lives are lived as true profundity. And others claim they really live the real reality. The variety of our skin tones can confuse, bemuse, delight. Brown and pink and beige and purple. Tan and blue and white. I've sailed upon the seven seas and stopped in every land. I've seen the wonders of the world, not yet one common man. I know 10,000 women called Jane and Mary Jane, but I've not seen any two who really were the same. Mirror twins are different, although their features jive, and lovers think quite different thoughts while lying side by side. We love and lose in China. We weep on England's moors and laugh and moan in Guinea and thrive on Spanish shores. We seek success in Finland, are born and die in Maine. In minor ways, we differ. In major, we're the same. I note the obvious differences between each sort and type, but we are more alike, my friend, than we are unalike. We are more alike, my friend, then we are unalike. We are more alike, my friends, than we are unalike. Love, Maya.
Love it.
Thank you. That was wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, ladies, tell me a little bit about, why do you read? Do you read for enjoyment, to stretch the imagination, just to relax, for wisdom, for intrigue, or something else?
Well, this is Marva. I read so I can find out about other cultures, other lifestyles, and just as to be a lifelong learner.
Okay.
This is Nadine again. I started reading because I wanted to write. And you know, the best writers are the ones who are the best readers. You read all kinds of books to get there. And fortunately, I have just completed my first novel. And from all the books we've read, I pieced together something that they did that I thought they did well. And that's what I used in my writing. And we'll find out following the next 3 weeks whether or not I succeeded. Well,
congratulations on your first novel.
Yeah.
Thank you. This is Claudette. And so I read to try and increase the speed of my reading. I feel like I read very slow. And so I'm always telling the book club members, I need the book months in advance so that I can read it. And I, you know, I tend to read every word of it, you know, like every word, and that is my mm-hmm. speed of eye and comprehension. And the other thing for me is I get lost in it. So when I read, I want to feel the breeze of whatever the tree is, or the sea in my imagination, the ocean, and, you know, it's just for experience.
I think reading also shows us that what we think is not just something that's isolated. I like characters where I can identify with the character and know that, you know, my thoughts, although they seem crazy sometimes, somebody else has thought that too. Mm-hmm. I'd like to interject this also. I'm a retired educator. I taught second, third, fourth, and sixth grade. And one of the things that I think we really need to focus on in education is getting children at an early age immersed in reading. We're so busy with the testing and all of that, but we need to make sure that children have access to books. And I'm thinking primarily of those children who live in Appalachia and in little communities where they can't afford a library, not even a school library or otherwise. And also those parts in the South where children are isolated. I think it's really important that we focus as a people, as a nation, on providing good reading material for children at a very early age. That's my.
And hopefully we'll pass the universal preschool agenda.
This is Jackie, and I was so fortunate because as a child, I came before television, you know, before television, and I was so lucky to have a mother who guided my reading, and she started me off in early grade school with age-appropriate books, and the first one was called Red Ashes. I'll never forget it. But anyway, she guided me through the classics, and reading has always just been a wonderful experience. And I remember in the summers, there was no air conditioning in the house, and we sat under our grapevine in the back and we read just for the pure joy of reading. And that was learning about other people and other cultures. Well, I'm 77 now, and most of my reading goes to the internal world of the philosophical journeys into self. That's where I am now.
And I've always loved reading. And now that I'm older, I never sit down. So it's hard for me just to sit down and relax with the book. But with the audiobooks, I'm able to, I still call it reading, read and run and walk and do housework. So I feel like I'm being more productive that way and still being able to take advantage of different stories.
Are you there, Brenda? I think we lost.
Yes, we did. Brenda?
Oh, can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Were you able to hear us?
Yes. Yes. I pushed the button, but mute because I moved around. So I apologize for that.
Okay. All right.
But I heard everything you said. Does anyone have a favorite book that they've read over the years that has affected their life in any way? You've talked about a lot of different books.
I had one, and it affected my life. And I think it was in my 30s when I was very troubled. And it's a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And right now, I can't think of the philosopher that wrote it. But essentially, this man was in a concentration camp in World War II. And he found what kind of meaning do you find in a concentration camp? And I think Sly in the Family Stone said it best when he first said, you're free in, at least in your mind, if you want to be. And that was Viktor Frankl who wrote Man's Search for Meaning. And that was whenever I was really deeply troubled, I would go and read that book. I don't know why.
I had one as a child, but I have another one now. But as a child, I read The Human Comedy, and I'm not sure what it's about, but the thing about the book was that it seemed to be so real to me, and a lot of the things that we had to read were not real, but this human comedy seemed like it was young people doing actually the same things that we would do, and was also like, you know, they were giving us hints about what life was going to be like. So I like that one. But today, I've already mentioned this book once, but it's becoming more and more important to me, and that's The Invisible Man. I think it's The Invisible Man, the one by John Grisham, because now I am researching a book involving a 13-year-old boy who's been accused, this is a true story, of killing a 5-year-old girl. And the scene or the location of this was in a little small town south of Canton, and the little girl was white and the boy was black, and he ended up spending 2 years of his life in prison, in juvenile prison, as a result of this. But then in the end, he sued them, and he got $3 million. So it's just, to me, that story is just needs to be told because of what happened to him and how he ended up, you know, overcoming it. And so I think when I think of that story, I think of The Invisible Man, because it was the same thing, a victim who was made a victim by the system, who tried to find him and wouldn't look for anybody else for a murder. And so therefore they messed up his life completely.
Okay, I'm gonna read that book too. Someone else mentioned The Invisible Man to me earlier today.
Well, there's two. I think I have the right title. You know, the Ellison Invisible Man.
Right.
That's not the one. So it might be, maybe it was The Innocent Man. Yes.
The Innocent Man. Okay.
Because I get them confused. Yeah. So The Innocent Man.
Okay. All right. I'm going to add that to my list. Okay, ladies.
Don't bother with The Invisible Man.
Okay, ladies. So before we close, we're going to take a happy survey. Okay. So I want everyone to go around the table. I've been there. So you're at the round table and tell me what your happy food is, your happy outfit, and your happy drink.
Happy food, happy outfit, and happy drink.
Happy drink.
All right.
Happy drink, all of them.
Okay. My happy food is cheese, and I'm looking at it right now, and I'm having a hard time. I told my husband this morning that I'm going to try my best. I'm going to do everything possible to not eat as much cheese. That's my happy food. I don't have a happy outfit. I just really don't. I don't have one. And happy drink. I don't have a happy drink either. Although just 2 weeks ago, we were introduced to some bourbon with ginger. Was it with ginger? Oh, that's good. About to make me my happy drink. That's so good. I can't remember. They got it from South Carolina or North Carolina?
North Carolina.
Okay. And it's a bourbon with ginger.
Okay.
Okay, this is Marva. I guess my happy food is, I have two. I love pizza. And I also love fried chicken. It can be warm or cold. I don't care. Those are my two happy foods. As far as a happy drink, I have to say margarita. Yeah, I'm not a heavy drinker. I think I like to play the lemon-lime flavor of margarita. I have to be careful drinking.
And your happy outfit?
My happy outfit. Oh, my. I like to dress up. And with that happy outfit consists of something red. That is one of my favorite colors.
Mine, I call too. Marva, I call Marva a real girly girl. She's never tired of being glamorous. And I think it's marvelous.
Blame it on my mother and the ribbons.
Let's see, my favorite food has to be collard greens and cornbread.
My kind of girl.
But I don't really, when it comes to the cornbread, I like someone who really has lived in the South and has experience in the South, because to me, they're the only ones that know how to make good cornbread. My favorite outfit, just anything that, I like white blouses. I don't know why. I like, and I don't mind laundering them and ironing them, standing up, you know, ironing. I just like white blouses. My favorite drink is a Moscow Mule.
Okay. Very good. This is Teresa. My happy food would have to be crab legs, jumbo crab legs with lots of butter.
Coup de thé.
And I know that's the next one. And my happy drink, I love a full, robust Cabernet, mainly from Italy when I'm there in person. And then my happy outfit, I love all my clothes and my shoes and my boots, as Brenda knows already. So, and I just like shopping for clothes and finding nice outfits. So I love all clothes.
Okay.
This is Jackie, and I'm not real into clothes because I have a very large bust and a very short waist, and I look like Ellen almost.
Oh, style. That's not true.
Yeah. But my favorite drink is Kendall Jackson Chardonnay, and I don't drink much. I never drink more than one bottle a day.
I'm looking at her.
And food, I like all kinds of food, so I can't even say what I like.
Good cook.
What is best.
Okay.
Well, this is Claudette, and one of my favorite foods is ackee and saltfish and fried dumplings and yam. Ooh. And plantain.
True Jamaican.
Yeah, that is food. One of my favorite foods, and I could eat that for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. In terms of drinks, right now it's just Tito's on the rocks. And it changes maybe yearly or something, but right now it's Tito's. And in terms of outfits, as long as I could put a hat with my outfit, I am a good girl. I'm ready to go.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you my happy food is crabs because I'm from the East Coast. My happy outfit is tights because they're comfortable. And my happy drink, I have a lot of those. I would have to say a margarita on the rocks with salt. Yeah. So ladies, I want to say in closing, thank you for joining and sharing how your club is promoting literacy through fun and sisterhood. This is your host, Brenda Brown, on the Cool Channel, Where It Has It Book Tour. Remember, no one gets to vote on your happiness or your truth. Read to stay informed and in touch with both. Brenda?